why doesn't Malfurion like math? Because he just doesn't get square roots. Welcome to Weekly News Desk for the week of April 22nd, 2017. I am Simon Atwell, and as always, I am joined by...
Andrew Deep.
That was weird. Why did you... Why? Why? Okay, but that doesn't answer the question of why.
Why not?
I don't know.
I did just sneeze. My brain's a little rattled.
Ratting around in there.
Yeah.
I kind of like that joke. My joke. It's actually a Druid joke, but I changed it to Malfurion specifically. So that it can be in direct reference to what something we're talking about today.
Heroes. Yep. Because he's got that sweet root ability.
Mm-hmm. There was also one about Blink, but I think I already did a Zeratul joke the last time we talked about heroes.
Maybe.
And Li Ming is teleporting up Blink, so it doesn't work.
Right.
Anyway, that's later what we're going to talk about. I don't think we have any housekeeping, do we?
Housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
I think we can just talk straight into the news. Get straight into the news.
Get straight into the thick of it and the thick in the thick of it.
It's a good movie. Speaking of movies... Captain Marvel, the movie, they've announced the directing duo for the Captain Marvel movie.
Duo? That's one more than normal.
Yes and no. There's not the first. There's quite a few movies that get the double directors. It's a thing. Including these two who directed, the hell was it called? Mississippi Grind together in 2014, Half Nelson in 2006, and Sugar in 2008, none of which I've seen.
Sugar.
But the duo is Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck.
On Fleck.
Who I have never heard of, but...
Me either.
I don't know, I gave you... They won... A prize at Sundance in 2004 for their short film Gowanus Brooklyn.
Ooh.
Also never heard of it, but I mean, presumably, if it won a prize at... I mean, Sundance... Is it award? It's prize. It says prize, and I'm not sure if the awards at film festivals are...
Well, you can award a prize, so...
That's accurate. You also... But can you prize an award?
Yeah, you can prize an award. It's my prized award. You know? I prize this fair. Above everything else.
I suppose that's true. So you can scratch an itch, but you can't itch a scratch. But you can prize an award and award a prize.
Yes. I'm confused.
Good. Then my job is done. So apparently this comes after a quote, exhaustive search for directors for the Captain Marvel film. And, you know, Kevin Feige announced it, blah, blah, blah. You know, good stuff.
Good stuff.
And it's being written. The movie is being written by Nicole Perlman, who worked on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Excellent.
And Meg LaFauve, who worked on Inside Out.
Depressing and sad and
I've actually seen
amazing.
It. Also, is not confirmed, but I wouldn't be surprised that... it's rumored that Brie Larson is supposed to debut as Captain Marvel in Avengers Infinity War.
Makes sense.
Before getting Captain Marvel, you know, i.e. Black Panther and Spider-Man in Civil War. So, you know, it's a thing that happens historically, so.
I believe it, because she's strong.
Yeah, and she would make a lot of sense for her to show up in Infinity War.
Yeah.
What else do we have? What's next on the docket? Oh, right, these things that I wasn't told, absolutely was not going to put in because they're so not going to be.
Yeah.
Except for the first one.
The first one. So,
yeah, four.
Mark your day planner. Deadpool 2 gets a release date that is sooner than what it was before. That's weird, eh?
That's a good sentence.
It's not a delay, it's the opposite.
It happens sometimes. Usually, when something else gets delayed, they move something up to replace it.
So Deadpool 2 is June 1st, 2018.
Dun, dun, dun. That's like next year.
Yeah.
It's like a year and a half or so, give or take a couple months.
And now,
for the news that's not really news, because it's going to change, and then never happen.
I just really wanted to mention it for posterity, I suppose. The next
Posterity. Four Avatar movies. That's what our podcast is about, posterity.
Yes. The next four Avatar movies have release dates.
Again.
So, yeah, again. After being delayed and delayed.
Indefinitely.
There's release dates. So we got December 18th, 2020 for the first.
Avatar 2.
The second.
The first, second one, yep.
Yep. I mean, it's so far away.
It's 4 years.
And then 3 years. We got Avatar 3. Hot on the heels, December 17, 2021. So that's like a year of breathing room.
1 full year afterwards.
And then, oh no, we have to wait again. December 20th, 2024. And then December 19th, 2025.
Which seems strange. I don't know why he's putting them in like year and then wait 3 years and then do the two. I mean, I guess it's to give you film one and three or two and three at the same time. And do your thing after three, and then forward five at the same time, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, not at the same time, but, you know, one after the other. You know, like they did with The Hobbit and Star Wars and stuff.
And just, Lord of the Rings. These aren't going to stay.
No, they're not. That's why I didn't bother putting them in the notes. I didn't see the Deadpool one, but I saw the Avatar one. I was like, uh-huh, sure. Sure, those are the dates.
2020 is like a made-up year.
No, it's 3 years from now.
I know, but it seems like a made-up year. It's like from old sci-fi.
2001 is an old year from sci-fi.
Famously.
Andrew. Yeah.
But, you know.
Star Trek, early Star Trek, talks about things that happen in our past, technically, in the years they've used, I think.
But we blew past that already, so we're getting into more of the future stuff. And it's like 2020 and...
Well, as long as we don't end the world with the Pharaoh Plague in 2064, I'm happy with it.
Mm. 2064.
I'm almost done Horizon, by the way. That's what that's from. All the end of the world stuff is dated at 2064, give or take. Maybe 2065.
Approximately.
So.
Plus or minus.
I'm definitely heading to the last mission, so now I'm just collecting the collectibles.
Jeez.
Specifically the Vantages. They're the most important collectibles. Anyway, let's get into more important news. TV news.
More important than Avatar?
Yes. What isn't more important than Avatar?
Nothing. This is James Cameron, man.
I still haven't seen the first Avatar. I'm still not really interested.
It's my dad's favorite movie.
I'm aware that your dad watches it all the time.
It's so weird.
Anyway, TV. Did you watch this trailer?
Nope. Well, I listened to it.
You listened to it?
Yeah.
But you didn't watch it. That's weird. You're weird.
Yep.
So, Cloak and Dagger, which is coming to Freeform, ABC Family, whatever the hell it is, up here and everywhere in between, has a trailer now. Because I forgot what channel it was going on. It took me a minute to be like, oh, right, it's skewed for people younger than me. That's why it looks like it's skewed for people younger than me and looks a little odd. But once I was in the right mind frame, I actually think this trailer looks really good.
Yeah.
I'm interested in it. Apparently, I don't know Cloak and Dagger's actual name, but apparently Tyrone's not usually his name. That was a thing in the comments. I don't know.
I trust the comments.
Sure, you do. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Trust YouTube comments.
They would never lead me astray.
But it looks good. They look interesting. It is, I guess, in the MCU, because at the end you get that Roxxon, which I guess you didn't see, because if you didn't see it. Because it's something that's only visual. And his cloak looks kind of boss at the end.
Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah. But, you know, I think this trailer looks very good. I think it's absolutely worth a watch.
Oh, there the cloak goes.
Yeah. And Roxxon. You see the Roxxon Corp next to it?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess it's in the MCU?
Probably.
Question mark?
I think if they're putting out with the Marvel name,
it's it has the Marvel logo that is the exact same logo as the one on the Netflix series. As in, it's Marvel like in a red box. Not that it's a particularly unique logo.
No,
but it's different than the ones they like use on the X-Men movies or something,
right?
Because those are not technically done by Marvel and not in the MCU.
So I imagine it'd be the same.
I think so. It's just weird that it's on this random family quote channel.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it looks interesting. I may check it out if I remember about it, which I probably won't.
It'll go on the list after the Carter.
I haven't watched Agent Carter yet either.
I want to watch it.
Yeah.
It's just so inaccessible.
I totally forgot that was a thing that existed. So thanks. Now I have to try and look at that.
You're welcome.
There was also a trailer, apparently, for Krypton, but there's lots of YouTube videos of people reacting to it, but apparently Sci-Fi has taken it down because apparently it was not official, and apparently they didn't release it.
Oh.
So I couldn't find it anywhere. Anyway, let's get into our next actual news point here, which is Lock and Key getting a pilot, also technically again. Lock and Key, which is a very popular comic series from IDW by Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez. And by when I say popular, I mean very popular. People love Lock and Key. This is like the third time, I think, they've tried to make a live action adaptation of it. Because Fox did it a few years ago with Alex Kurtzman and Roberto Orsi. But Fox didn't pick it up. They tried to make a movie version of it with Universal, and Universal was like, nope, don't want it. So now Hulu's trying. So Hulu has ordered a pilot. So we don't, not a series necessarily. But, you know, if the pilot's popular, or if they like the pilot, that'll mean a Hulu series. With Carlton Cuse as the showrunner, who I don't know who that is. And Joe Hill is writing the script for the pilot. And since he wrote the comic, that's a good sign. And then executive producer Scott Derrickson, who worked on Doctor Strange, and Lindsay Springer, who I don't know who is. So that's interesting. I've never actually gotten around to reading Lock and Key.
I don't know much about the series.
But people do love it. I know that it's very popular.
Popular.
Here, I'll read you a blurb about what Lock and Key is.
Please read to me.
Lock and Key is a horror fantasy series that revolves around three siblings who, after the gruesome murder of their father, move to their ancestral home in Maine, only to find the house has magical keys that give them a vast array of powers and abilities. Little do they know, a devious demon also wants the keys, and will stop at nothing to attain them.
There should really be an MCU Maine Cinematic Universe, where they just have all of the stuff that happens in Maine in one cinematic universe.
So, everything that Stephen King has ever written, plus a couple other things?
Plus, I imagine, a bunch of other things.
I mean, isn't that effectively what talked about it like 3 months ago.
The monster one?
Yeah.
With the mummy and Frankenstein's monster, I guess it is.
Was that it? No. There was one where it was a teaser trailer for something.
And the
Stephen King one.
Yeah. I guess that is the main
cinematic universe, because it was all about Stephen King stuff. That's all of which was set in the town. It was named after the town or the region or whatever. Maine. Can't remember what it was called. Yeah, something in Maine, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Lock and Key, very popular. Sounds interesting. It's fairly, you know, horror fantasy. It's somewhat Cthulhuan, I suppose, since we were talking about that in the pre-show.
Yeah, in the pre-show. Cthulhu. You say Ftagen, I say Ftagen.
Ftagen. Schlemiesel, Schlemazel. Anyway. Andrew, this one's yours, and I assume the news is basically as you wrote in the notes.
Essentially. So, Netflix has ordered an animated Carmen Sandiego series.
All right, I heard about this.
It is 22 episodes. Each episode will be 22 minutes long. And it will star Gina Rodriguez as Carmen. And Finn Wolfhard as the player.
The player. So it's the player is trying to find her.
Yeah.
Weird.
I would imagine that it will have an actual name.
Yeah, I guess. It's just as that name just makes me think Tron. The player just makes me think it's going to be Tron. Carmen Tron Diego.
Dude, that'd be cool. gets
actually,
that'd put be in a Peter game. And then, yeah, I like that.
I mean, they did a really good Tron TV show for a while on Disney XD. Just can't remember what it was called.
Oh, it's going to premiere in 2019.
Oh, yeah. Cloak and Dagger is coming out next year sometime. That's it. That's all the dates. We got years, no dates.
Except for Avatar. Except
for Avatar dates, which are never going to happen. God.
Yeah.
So that sounds like Netflix continuing to do what it's been doing. And, hey, you liked this thing back, you know, when you were young? Hey, it's coming back to Netflix.
I mean, it's smart.
It's just where they make most of their money, I guarantee you. So, yeah.
It's working gangbusters for Pokemon.
I'm not complaining. I'm just stating. Stating a fact.
Thank you.
Fact.
Mass Effect.
Yeah, I bet you haven't finished that yet, have you?
You bet I haven't.
So eventually you're going to finish that, and then you have to come finish Horizon.
Yeah.
Once I finish Horizon, I may or may not go back to Zelda. I don't know. It's daunting. Once you leave Zelda, it's daunting to go back.
I don't think you ever stop.
To me, at least. Anyway, speaking of games.
I like games.
Yeah. All news are all yours.
News.
Mostly because I forgot to put that third dot in because I totally saw that.
Duh. Okay, yeah. So anyway. Call of Duty, World War II confirmed. Yep. That is the working title. Call of Duty World War II.
Good. Thank God.
It's a good name. Solid.
It gets the point across.
I know exactly what it's about.
Yeah, World at War. Possibly their most popular one. That was World War II. Yeah, it was World War II.
That was World War II.
Because the Americans were in the Japanese.
Call of Duty 1, Call of Duty 2, Call of Duty 3. Those were all World War II.
I never played one prior to World at War. What was the first one I played?
I played all of them up to then, and then it got kind of intermittent after that.
Yeah, I think I played the Black Ops, and I played Modern Warfare 2 and 3, and Black Ops 1 and 2, and I think that was about it.
This is a Sledgehammer Studio Call of Duty.
Sure.
Which...
That means a whole lot of nothing to me, except that I know that they go back and forth on who makes them. But that's a new one. It's not one I recognize.
Sledgehammer?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember which one they did. I think they did Advanced Warfare.
Yeah. Is that the spacey one?
Yeah, that's the spacey one. I really want to play that one. So there's going to be a full reveal sometime this week.
Apparently people are already saying whatever poster or art they showed, apparently it's supposed to rip off some other game's art or something. I don't know. I didn't really look at it because I don't read those articles. I just saw the headline in an email and was like, I don't care.
Well, if it rips off another game, it's probably an EA game.
Oh, because this is also owned by EA?
Yeah. EA owns a lot of games. EA. And a lot of games that did World War II stuff.
EA owns a lot of everything.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
It is a fact. And this is Activision.
Oh,
I think also, Activision owns the rest.
Yeah. Who's partnered / owns Blizzard. I'm not really sure how it works, because it's Activision partnered. Blizzard.
Activision Blizzard, yeah.
Technically. But it's only Activision Blizzard when people are complaining.
Yes. it's like when you're in trouble, you get your full name.
Yep.
Activision Blizzard, you cut that out right now. You're grounded.
All right, Andrew.
Dawn of War 3 beta happened this weekend. It's good. I like it.
There's no way you're going to say anything overall bad.
Well, it could have been bad. I don't know.
Yeah, but there's no way you're going to say anything overall bad about it.
That's true. I like things.
But specifically, Warhammer.
Yeah. Things. So it's an RTS.
As they are.
But they sprinkled quite a few MOBA elements into it.
Like what?
Like, You have a core.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's a new thing. And you can't attack the core until you down their shield generator and then their tower.
Towers, got it. RTS often has like bases. So is
that they're still base building. You base build around your core.
Interesting.
And that's cool. And you still get like units and stuff and you capture points. Interesting. This Dawn War goes back toward the roots of the original Dawn War.
Sure.
Where it's less micromanaging all your troops into cover and facing and all that stuff. It's a lot more streamlined and quicker.
So it's more CNC. Like, here are your troops.
Yeah.
You send them over there, and they shoot things and die.
And then they add in the MOBA-esque stuff. And then there's loadouts you have.
That seems strange.
You got elite loadouts, which are like power units. Like Gabriel Angelos, Chapter Master of the Blood Ravens. Or an Imperial Knight, or a squad of Terminators. Those are elite things you can...
Hmm? Led by Arnold.
Arnold?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Squad of Terminators.
Yeah.
Clearly, it's the same thing.
It is the same thing, totally. T-100s.
Yeah, maybe they should be led by... Oh, shit. Robert? Whatever. Who was the T-3000?
1000?
No, the liquid one.
1000.
Was that 1000?
Yeah.
And then what was Arnold?
100.
100?
Yeah.
No, I thought they were all thousands. It's been what, 10, 15 years since I've seen... Maybe not 15 years. It's been a long time since I've seen a Terminator movie.
A quick Joogle will figure this out.
Joogle. Like Jif? Joogle?
Like Jif.
Like Jif.
Like Jif.
Jif Gif. Gif Jif. I know people...
Jif.
People who own podcasts who just who now... Robert Patrick. That's it. It was Robert.
He's the T-1000, so it's right.
So what's Arnold? I didn't think it was 100.
A T-100 is a tank, so I could be getting confused.
Possibly. Probably. If it's a World War II tank, almost definitely. What?
He is an 800.
800. Well, I still didn't think it was lower or less than 1,000, but I certainly didn't think they were going to be that big a difference.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, T-1000s. Robert Patrick leads them.
He was in Atlantis for a hot second.
Was he?
Yeah. He was the Shepherd rank, and then he died in the pilot's.
Oh, he was in the pilot. Death. Yep. Yep, 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 yep.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep. Lots of people died in the pilot, technically.
Yeah.
Almost everybody died in the pilot.
Nearly.
Like, yeah. Everybody nearly died in the pilot. Because, you know, it's a very action-packed pilot of, are they going to survive? Did we get a full series or not?
So Dawn of War 3 is rad. I liked it.
I won't try it. I'll take your word for it. I'll take your and Justin's word for it. But I also don't like RTSs in general, so.
On the Warhammer note, Warhammer 8th edition, 40K 8th edition was announced.
True. You better specify. 40K, not Warhammer. Everybody's going to be expecting, you know, magic and fantasy and swords.
It's not so relevant now. Like 2-3 years ago, they blew up the Warhammer universe in canon. They wiped it out. It doesn't exist. They destroyed the rule set. They stopped selling the models.
And they turned because they made all their money in 40K anyway.
Yeah. But that didn't make them happy. But they turned it into Age of Sigmar.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah. And actually, some of that stuff carries over and is going into the whole idea of what they're doing with the 40K thing. So this is going to be a clean slate. They're not doing the same like fluff-destroying, game-destroying thing they did before, but they're bringing out a whole new rule set for the first time ever. A whole new rule set, fresh start on all the rules. All the models will still be compatible, and the lore isn't going to change. Going from what's happened already, which is cool because, like, for the first time in like 10 years, it's advancing.
It's probably real time.
it's been like the year, because like there's like little things that happen a whole bunch all over the place, and it's been like the year like 39, 99, whatever, for like ever in the story. And it's like things do happen, but it just doesn't advance. But now it's advancing.
It's and anyway, warfare,
they had a, you could say, they had a live QA, and it sounds really good. They're kind of like a new Games Workshop now, because
that's what they want you to think.
Well, they're doing a good job. For one, they had a QA. Old Games Workshop wouldn't do that.
Wouldn't
they
tell
would,
you shit.
They would have just blown it up, reset it, cancel your models, and then in another un-Games Workshop-like thing, if you bought a codex or a rulebook or anything in the past 8 months, show a proof of purchase, and they will send you a voucher that matches the cost of what you spent on it.
Interesting.
Because codexes aren't going to be valid anymore because they are changing the rule set. But that's crazy. That's unheard of, Games Workshop. And lots of playtesting. They've been pretty open about stuff happening since they announced it. And it's cool. I like it. They're just streamlining the game, making it easier, which is good, because the rule book is like 400 pages, and the codexes are, I think, like 40 pages of rules. That's and you have to have like multiple codexes for some things, and it's a mess, but they're fixing it.
Streamlining is good.
Because new Games Workshop, they're catching up to the future. Oh, and the rules are going to be free. Free rulebook.
Free the rules.
Which, to also outline how crazy that is, the edition before this current edition that's out now was about $80 Canadian.
Well, that's substantial.
And the rulebook for this edition is 100 Canadian. And now this one's going to be free.
Yeah. But then who knows what else they're going to gouge you on. Well, I mean, they got to make their money somewhere. Plus, yeah. I mean, you still got to buy, except you said the models you already own are still good, so who knows?
Yeah. Well, there's going to be, like, new armies. They've got a couple. One army is going to be available at launch. And then a couple new armies are going to be rolled out. But it's exciting times. The pretty much the biggest, historically the biggest miniatures game is finally catching up to the present day.
Yeah. Set in the future, but it's finally catching up to the present.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about heroes.
Of the Storm.
So, Heroes of the Storm on Tuesday, the 25th, right? Yes. Tuesday, April the 25th, 2017.
Which is tomorrow as of the day of recording.
Update. Yes, because we're recording many days later than we usually do.
Mm-hmm.
By many, I mean like one to two.
1 to 2.
Is when Heroes 2.0 gets rolled out.
Roll out.
So, you know, make sure you've done the background update and or, you know, update on Tuesday.
Yeah.
All that changes are going to be great. And last week, the only reason this is really news, because Prepare for Heroes 2.0 isn't really news, but they have talked about, announced, I suppose, Mega Bundles.
Yes. Yeah.
Which are groups of, what is it, like 20 heroes?
20 heroes. There are 4 packs of 20 heroes. Yeah.
One is like tanks and bruisers, another is support and something.
Support and the ones I like, specialist.
Specialist. There's...
Adaptive?
Adaptive, which is mostly specialists too, I think.
Yeah, they're multi, kind of like multi-rolled. Yeah.
Helpful ones. Generally helpful, but not necessarily. And then there's assassins, effectively.
Yeah.
I will buy whichever one I don't have the most heroes of. Because you get, if you log in between April 25th and May 22nd or something.
Yeah, it's fairly a long time.
Big window. You get enough gems to buy one for free, just for logging on. And then when you buy one mega bundle, that's the mega bundle you get. The other three are locked out. So choose Wesley.
Or don't choose any, because you already own all the heroes. All the heroes.
That is what one I've seen people like, I don't know the heroes. I guess I'll just take those free gems.
Yeah, gonna take these gems, gonna get myself some skin.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing, too. Depending on how the heroes that I don't own are spread out along mega bundles, I may not.
Yeah. I just don't have, like, I think I'm missing five now.
It's funny, there's a thing on their site, like, which is the mega bundle for you, and especially what's your playstyle?
Yeah.
So it was like five questions. It's like, your playstyle is tanks and bruises. I go, really?
I don't even think it was five questions. I think it was like three. Yeah, it was maybe three.
It was very short. And it was like, your playstyle is tanks and bruises. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I like to get up there. And I like to kill things.
And the question's and really dumb. It's if like,
I can help save. Oh, it's what do you like to
do?
Leading.
Yeah, like what do you like to do? I like to get in there.
Get in there and fight.
I like to heal. I like to stay back and shoot.
Yeah.
Oh god, no,
it was really dumb.
It was a dumb survey.
It was. It made me laugh. It was also obvious because I knew very much that I was a melee bruiser, melee assassin type, or a specialist if I have to. There's some good specialists. Or if I have to support, Karazim.
I'm very not melee.
The only support I want to play is Karazim. I'm all melee.
I like it ranged.
I can't do it. I don't know why. I can just never do ranged. Even when I try, I'm bad at it.
And I can't melee.
I'm all about melee. And I especially can't support in that game. I just can't do it. In Heroes, I just can't.
I just can't tank. I can't do it. I hate it.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing we usually play at the same time.
Indeed.
Make up for each other's. We'll just do opposite. All right, let's go into comics and books. Starting with Zelda getting legendary year. Because Viz Media is going to be releasing, I guess it's the first of The Legend of Zelda Legendary Edition on May 9th. I suppose technically, actually, this is Legend of Zelda, Legendary Edition, the Minish Cap, and Phantom Hourglass. So it is, they're adapting the 10-volume manga series into omnibus 2-in-1 editions. It's basically the manga from the Minish Cap and the manga from the Phantom Hourglass, now both in this hardcover book, with new covers and color illustrations by creator Akira Himikawa. So that's cool if you like
manga
and Zelda stories.
Zelda. Minish Cap.
Yeah, I never played the Minish. That was what, Game Boy Color?
I remember Phantom Hourglass.
Yeah, that was a Nintendo DS. I have that one. It was the one with the ship.
But Minish Cap, I don't remember.
And it was before the one with the train, which I also quite liked. I think I liked the one with the ship better.
I didn't get to do the train one. I was interested. Spirit Tracks.
Yeah, I own it somewhere. I was interested. Erica probably has it.
I like trains.
I like turtles.
I like turtles.
yeah, I never played the Minish Cap. I also never played Oracle of Ages or Seasons.
I played one of those.
I didn't play either of them. I now have one of them on my DS, but I tried to play it and I was like, I can't go back to this. Yeah. I can't go back to this.
This is a step
old
back.
Zelda, old handheld Zelda.
Considering you've got new handheld Zelda,
and also Switch. This was prior to Switch, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, especially now that you have especially new handheld Zelda.
Zelda, yeah, in the Switch, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But even comparing like Oracle of Seasons to like Phantom Hourglass, it's rough.
Well, it wasn't rough when I played it like a million years ago.
Yeah. Well, probably not when it was new.
Yeah,
I never. That's the thing. I went from like an original Game Boy straight to a Nintendo DS. So the Pocket. Actually, I think my brother had a Pocket, but there was no difference between Pocket and Game Boy, except that the Pocket was smaller.
Right.
It didn't have specific cartridges that the Game Boy couldn't play, but the color. There was something else too before DS, wasn't there?
Advanced,
right? And then Advanced SP, which is just advanced in a
and then advanced like a micro.
Pocket. Was there a micro? I've only heard SP, which was the flip. the flip phone of the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, with a backlight. It was unreal. Greatest handheld system.
I mean, it had a great form factor. That much I can tell you.
Great form factor. It did Advance. It did the Game Boy, and it had the backlight.
All right. Getting back to this book, the Minish Cap Phantom Hourglass. As I said, it'll be due out on May 9th, and it is going to cost you $18 if you're in the U.S. and $25 if you're in Canada.
Little Canada.
But, the manga series thing. Akira Himekawa is not actually a person. It's the pen name of two women who write it.
Oh.
I forgot. We've talked about this before, and I totally forgot about it.
I didn't remember either.
Yep. They've basically written, like, every manga Zelda series ever. Because there are other Legendary Editions out there as well. Oh, look. Legend of Zelda, Oracle of Seasons, Oracle of Ages. I thought it was the same story. Just, like, I thought the games were exactly the same, but one was time and one was seasons.
Well, they came out at the same time.
Exactly. That's why I thought they were the exact same thing.
They had a slightly different premise. I remember that they were separate games, but they were the same, basically.
Like map? Well, they seem like map, basically, and stuff.
I can't remember what's different, and I can't remember which one I played. But it was one of them.
Anyway, these are probably smallish coffee table books. You should get them. Get them now!
Now!
Alright, next up. Boldly Color. Where no man has colored before. Because Dark Horse Comics is announcing new Star Trek coloring books.
Everyone gets a coloring book.
Everybody loves adult coloring books now. That's a big business these days.
It's weird.
It's big business. So they have Star Trek the Original Series adult coloring book, Where No Man Has Gone Before. Which contains 45 brand new black and white images from the second two seasons of Star Trek, which I guess means they involve Chekhov. He didn't show up till the second season. And that one goes on sale September 23rd. It's weird. This article is not great. They put the thing, the blurb about the book, and then the dates are at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Not with the blurb about the book. I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
And the other book they're announcing is Star Trek The Next Generation adult coloring book, Continuing Missions, which also has 45 images and from seasons 4 through 7, which would be the last one, I believe. Season 7 was the last one for Next Gen, I think.
Sure.
I like that they name drop a couple of, you know, unforgettable illustrations spread by unforgettable episodes like Darmok, The Inner Light, and Chain of Command.
I bet the Tribbles page is going to be fun to color.
No, Tribbles was like season 1.
Dang.
And also season 1 of the original series, which I believe are things that exist out there already. There have been other Star Trek adult coloring books, I think. Darmok is a good one. Darmok is actually a good episode. It gets people talk about all the time. Darmok at Tanabra, when the walls fell, or something like that. It's a thing. It's a well-known Star Trek quote. People make it all the time.
Yes.
Also, what is going on with Worf's nose in that picture? Like, for real. Really, and Crusher's eyes. And Deanna's eyes. And Riker's eyes.
Not a fan of the art, really, on either of these covers. Their eyes
are kind of weird. Yeah, no.
All of their faces are kind of weird in some way.
Well, Bones is smiling. There's a problem with Bones. Bones doesn't smile.
It's a weird smile, too. He's like, I'm going to eat you. You got a pert mouth.
The Next Generation adult coloring book goes on sale in October, so it's a month after the other one. So, you know, if you like coloring books in the Star Trek. Also, it seems kind of dumb that in these, at least on the covers, hopefully it's not so in the book, but on the covers, their uniform colors are already in. Like,
I imagine it's just to
Next Generation, Riker and Picard are in there. Red, you can already see red. But the black is white. The black is not colored, but the red is colored in.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. I assume it's just for the covers.
Yeah,
just that would showing be super color. Dumb.
They usually the color a bit or a section of something in these coloring books covers. Like with the Star Wars them. One I've got, there's just a Yoda colored in the middle of the page, and then the other side is all black.
I have seen many. I've seen many. I know Erica has a few. I know Caitlin has a bunch. Because I've seen her get given many. Like, every birthday party, she gets at least one.
Yeah.
And I know you have the Star Wars one. I've seen it. But I've never really looked at them. I'm like, oh, cool, coloring book. Okay.
That's fair.
It's just not a thing that I'm particularly interested in.
It's hard when you're an adult and you have so many adult things you need to do. Like finish video games. Where do you have time to do a coloring book?
Lunch
but
break.
But I like the idea.
Obviously. Lunch break.
I don't know what kind of lunch breaks you get.
20 minutes? That's what kind of lunch breaks I get. It's not enough to do anything.
Except eat.
Yep.
Especially when you have to get food.
Well, no, I bring a bagel. That's what I eat for lunch. A bagel, nothing on the bagel, just a bagel.
I sit above like the best burrito place ever. So I just go downstairs. You can order online.
Oh, nice.
And so I make my order and for pickup, and then I just go down and then grab it and then go back up. It's awesome.
Is Justin super jealous?
I don't know.
Have you told him that you have awesome burritos like on the daily?
I imagine.
Anyway, back to comics and comics. Specifically, these next two. Those last two were books. These next two are comics. Star Wars Classics. So this is actually super interesting. IDW is going to release Star Wars, the classic newspaper comics, collected in May. So, like, way back from March 11th, 1979 to October 5th, 1980. These were in... there were sequential strips in the newspapers.
Just like Garfield.
Yeah. Except initially, the strips, the weekend, the Sunday strips, or the color strips, were different. They were different, the story, than the week strips.
Weird.
And until Russ Manning was like, no. It's one story. So he tied them in together. He was like, no, it's one story.
Good man.
So this is super cool to me. Because, I mean, I've heard people talk about these before. I've obviously never seen them because, well, it ended 8 years before I was born.
That usually is a stopper.
And it was newspaper, so it's not like it got particularly... There's any particularly... Well, there's probably a couple, but it's probably not many, you know, collected good condition versions of them because they're in the newspaper. So the classic newspaper comics is containing 575 strips. This is just one of three, I think. Yeah, but the first volume of the classic newspaper strips. With them trying to sort of restore it, make it look like it did. You know, they're not making it look prettier or anything. They're trying to make it look like it would have in the initial newspaper run, which is very interesting.
I'm down with that.
Apparently, during the 5 years the Star Wars comics first appeared in the newspapers, apparently they were treated to a total of 27 storylines.
Wow.
That's a lot.
How many of them was Darth Vader about lasagna?
Probably none. But hopefully one.
Lasagna. Hating Mondays.
Everybody hates Mondays.
It's when the dark side is the strongest.
This is a cool thing. IDW has done this before, like sort of with the Library of American Comics. Released sort of classic collections of newspaper things or old things that aren't really archived well, I guess. But I'll almost definitely pick this up when it shows up in May. The quote, the landscape hardcover, which I don't really know what means, is apparently going to have an MSRP of $50, and I assume that is American.
It's landscape.
It doesn't specify. Oh, I guess that just means it is a landscape book, as opposed to the normal portrait book shape.
Just like the Garfield comic books.
I suppose that probably fits. Yeah, that probably fits better with newspaper 3-panel strips or 4-panel strips. That makes sense. I just never considered calling it a landscape, even though that's exactly what it is, like book.
Yep.
It's cool. It's going to be expensive, probably, but I mean, it is 575 newspaper strips, so that's like, what, 3 panels? 3 to 5 panels each.
Its cover price is $50.
Yeah. So, that's probably American.
Yeah.
Which means it'll be more here.
Yeah. I like how the article mentions that it's $50, and it says, but you can probably find it cheaper if you look.
Yep.
It gets it.
All right, and now last and probably least, but this is cool. Blow up that centipede, because Dynamite Entertainment, who we've talked about before in their partnership with Atari and doing Atari comics, is now doing a comic book run of Centipede.
This is not the famed human centipede?
Not the infamed human centipede, no. A little bit older than that. You know, Atari and all that. Which I can never spell centipede. You know, I always put C-E-N-T-E instead of C-E-N-T-I.
Makes sense.
I do not know why.
But I imagine you don't use centipede on the reg.
I don't. I definitely do not Google human centipede often. Or the bugs. Which, Erica hates centipedes and millipedes. So that would be the worst thing ever to do, is put a centipede picture somewhere.
What about a human centipede?
I don't know. Probably, I doubt she's seen that. I've never seen that movie.
I never have either.
I doubt that's much better. Anyway, Centipede, the game, was like a top-down shooter. Top-down shooter. What do you guys call it? You guys call it something else, I think. You and Tom. We had an argument before of what a game genre was called. And we were both technically right.
Top-down shooter, we'll say that.
Because that's what I called it, and you guys called it something else.
Well, I can't remember, so we're going with yours.
It's too bad Tom's upstairs. If you were still down here, we could ask him.
Yeah.
In point of fact, he'd probably just tell me when I called it a top-down shooter. Because we had an argument about it. Anyway. So yeah, that's all Centipede was. I just like to talk about what the games actually were that they're somehow now making into comics, because it's...
I mean, they made Battleship into a movie. Anything's possible.
So, I'll read you the blurb of what the Centipede number one is. Sci-fi, horror, and action collide in a comic for fans of Aliens, The Thing, and Predator. When a terrifying creature from beyond the stars attacks his planet, protagonist Dale's journey... Andrew, come on. Did I take up right in the middle of my dramatic reading?
Yep.
Protagonist Dale's journey begins, but he's not out to save his world. It's already much too late for that. As a lone survivor, the only thing Dale wants is revenge. So that's kind of cool. And this art, I assume that's the non-variant? I don't know which one of these is variant. Mostly because they don't say variant on them. I'm assuming the cartoony looking one is a variant, and the one that looks like an Atari cartridge is a variant. Because, you know, generally speaking, that's how variants go.
Yeah.
So that giant bug thing looks creepy.
Creepy in a good way.
Yeah.
Not creepy like the cartoon.
What cartoon? The third cover?
Yeah. Or specifically the bottom right one.
Bottom. Oh, that is creepy. His nose is wrong. What is wrong with the weird cartoon centipede's nose?
Yeah.
It's weird. So yeah, basically this is, they're taking a kind of idea of what the Centipede game was. And they're like, and now we're going to make that into a real story. So that's cool. I'm looking forward to it. That is due out in July. And I kind of hope for a hard horror. I hope they go sort of legitimate horror comic with it. I think that'd be awesome. So mark your day planner for July. The whole month. Centipede. Just write it in big letters across the month of July. Except the day planners don't work like that because they're pages. So mark your calendar so that you can write one word across the whole page.
All of page. July.
Alright, that's what we have for this week. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Dud75.
I'm at DUP3.
How sad are you that you have to spell it and you can't just say dupe in leet?
Pretty sad.
I like to periodically ask you that, just to remind you that you should be sad.
Yep.
And you can find the show at Gweekly News, GweeklyNews. Our website is GweeklyNews.com, where you can find the show notes with, you know... Oh, wait, we only had one trailer. This is weird. We only had one trailer this week. It's been so long since we haven't had, like, five trailers.
Yeah. TV trailer, even.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a good trailer, though. Absolutely worth watching. So come to our show notes and click that link. And well, you can also leave a comment on the bottom if you want to tell us to stop doing shit. And you want to not get in touch with us on Twitter, you can get in touch with us there. Or email at feedback@GweeklyNews.com. Or Facebook at facebook.com/GweeklyNews. We also have a Discord server where we would love to chat in text and voice and play games like Heroes 2.0. Huh?
Yeah, man. Get them gems.
So you can join the Discord server. We have a widget on our website. There is a link on Facebook and Twitter. And we are also on iTunes, as is 99% of every other podcast in the world. And we would really love a rating and review, as would 100% of all other podcasts in the world.
Indeed.
So if you have time and, you know, ability, please do that.
If you can't type, I'm not going to hold it against you. But, I mean, you probably can.
I mean...
There's accessibility software.
Yeah, I'm not sure. If they can't type, I'm not sure how they found a podcast to begin with. I guess somebody else could have found it for them and given it to them.
Put it on their ears.
I guess.
They don't have arms or legs, so they can't do anything about it.
I don't know that if I lost my arms or even my hands or even just my fingers, I could type with my feet. I don't think I could do it. Just saying.
Make it happen.
I don't think I could do it.
I need to Google things.
Anyway, as I said, that's all for us. Thank you for putting up with our shit. And we'll see you next week.
My name's Garfield, and I hate Mondays.
Remarkably accurate.